You're already seated in, comfortable, and we won't feel bad at you if you don't want to exert that energy there. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? The book of James, chapter number 1. On April the 28th, I read this passage. It's been some weeks ago. I wanted to come back to these scriptures here, and I'm gonna try to move quickly down to where I think I need to be to speak to us today in the service. I'd like to start here in James chapter number 1, verse 25. Go ahead and put it up. Let's read it together. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to go ahead and read the Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. I will read through these verses quickly here. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar and the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard I have not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And I want to slightly change the title from what I used a few weeks ago. It may take me a little while to get on down where you'll understand the change of the title, but I want to use for a title, The Unkept Vineyard No Longer Neglected. The Unkept Vineyard No Longer Neglected. I just want to, again, this may seem systematic, but just to save time, I just want to read down through some of these notes that I made earlier just to bring our attention back here to where I need to be so I can preach to you this morning. The book of the Song of Solomon is a parable which makes divine things more difficult oftentimes to those who do not love them, but more plain and pleasant to those who do love them. And I believe it is a spiritual exposition confirming concurring testimony and making it relevant to both testaments, the new and the old. In the Old Testament, we see God betrothing the people of Israel to himself. And in the New Testament, we understand the love of Christ as the bridegroom and the church as the bride. If you study the book of Song of Solomon in that light, at least when I look at it that way, it helps me and gives me a clear understanding of how Christ, how the writer is trying to compare the love that Christ would have for his church. In the New Testament, in James chapter 1, he exhorts us, firstly, to be self-conscious of what we read, of how it applies to us, and how it can apply to our life. And then, to the reader, and before we seek revelation as to how it should be applied to someone else, we should see how it applies to us. James 1 and 27, pure religion, undefiled before God and the fatherless, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How many knows that's a full-time job? keeping himself unspotted. Amen. And you will never be effective in assisting someone else in their vineyard until you first are able to keep yours. So I believe the Spirit is speaking to us these past few weeks concerning our field and our vineyard. And I believe it is requiring us to look inwardly as to how we may improve and enlarge our contribution to the kingdom of God. I want to make a difference in my life. I don't want to go through my life and my ministry without making a difference. And I want to be able to enlarge. I want to be able to contribute to somebody else. But for me to do that, I must first keep myself unspotted from the world. This passage in Song of Solomon has been speaking to us for some time. Verse number 6, look not upon me because I'm black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. And it seemed like that this young person was being pressed into servitude, and her siblings maybe didn't understand what her role or her calling in life would be. She's not only speaking to her husband, but also to the daughters of those that would aspire one day to be loved and protected by a husband. Praise God. It seems that she does have a clear understanding of her assets and her liabilities. She mentions about the tents of Kedar and the curtains of Solomon, which that same material that was used for the tents of the shepherds that would become covered with sand and silt and smoke and all of those things that were sometimes so unpleasant in the life of a shepherd. Yet that same material cleaned and washed and in its purity was the same material that would hang in Solomon's palace for those curtains. Hallelujah. How many know when God takes something from the world, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how soiled it is, no matter how impossible it looks, when He puts His touch of His love and washes those things in the blood of Jesus Christ, they are worthy to hang in a palace. Hallelujah. The suicide of neglect can destroy anything of value. When you neglect what is yours, when you no longer see the value in what Christ has given to you, just the suicide of neglect, just not taking care of it, just not understanding the value of it. Amen. And after a while, just time and the elements around us will begin to take a toll and deteriorate those things that God has done in our life. Amen. To illustrate this, in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1, amen, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Amen. Ere, almost, when I looked that word up and studied into that word, that little three-letter word, it was right at the point. It seemed like those that were supposed to have the care, amen, and the maintenance of that fire that had been burning for over 300 years, it was about to go out. Amen. The nations around Israel had become even more corrupt, and their corruption and their idolatry had had a way of tainting the Israelites until many in that generation were growing up with the attitude, there's not any difference between us and these nations around around us. They forgot from where God had brought them from. Those stories that had been related to them about being rescued from Egypt's bondage was no longer having an impact on them. Amen. And those inside the temple, let me tell you something. When those become corrupt that are inside the house of God, when those that are keeping the attention of the work of God and the house of God and the church, when institutions become corrupt from the inside, it causes those on the outside to have questions. It causes them to question their own relationship and their own salvation. Again, brothers and sisters, that is another reason that it is of utmost importance for all of us to keep our own experience up to date in Christ. Amen. There have been times that the church at large has become corrupted from the inside. And when that would happen, there would always be somebody that had a relationship with God. Amen. And from the midst of that, there would be someone that would have pure religion, that would be undefiled before God, that would rise to the forefront to make sure the work of God would go on. Amen. How many believe the fire of God is going to never go out? Amen. If you allow it to go out in your life, if those that are in leadership allow the church to become corrupt from the inside, does not mean that God will not have somebody that will understand the value of what they have and make sure that it continues. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The sons of Eli were corrupt. Amen. I'm not going to go through what I preached before. Amen. A few weeks ago about Eli's calling. I think probably most of us are familiar with that. Amen. Samuel did answer the call. It seems as though his first message that he had to bring to Eli, amen, and those that are in that were in leadership at Shiloh at that time, was a message of judgment. Oh yes, amen. What a sad place that Israel's decline had come to. Amen. But thank God for a child that was pure in his heart. Amen. It was pure in his experience. Oh, I'd like to encourage somebody here this morning. Amen. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how insignificant you feel. It doesn't matter how small you feel like you are. If your religion is pure before God and your experiences is pure before Him and your love toward Him is strong, God can use you. Amen. I know we're living in a dark world. I know we're living in a corrupt generation. I know the Word of God in many places, amen, has been perverted, and it's caused people to doubt, and it's caused people to have fear, amen. But thank God that don't have to be you. If you have seen that, if you've been harmed by that, if you've been bruised by that, there ought to be something inside of you that would say, I want the real, I want the genuine, I want to have pure religion. And God can raise you up just like He raised Samuel up at that time, at that point in Israel's history, to turn that nation back to God. Amen. Oh yes, Samuel had to oversee judgment. Samuel had to oversee, amen, the capture of the ark. Amen. But all the time he kept his heart and his experience up to date and pure before God, where when God needed a man, he could use Samuel. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to move on down to Eli's sons. Their wickedness and their heart that was so dark and hardened that it wouldn't be softened even by the message that Samuel brought to them. they yet continued on in their sin. Amen. Let me tell you something. It rains on the just and the unjust. There are things that are coming on the nation. There are things that will come and are coming to America. There's a lot of sin and corruption in these good old United States. Amen. Oh, hear me now. Oh, yes. And so it was with Israel. There was a time that their enemies, amen, when a nation goes away from God, when a church goes away from God, they may feel a little reprieve for a moment or two. It may take the pressure of the battle off for a little while. Amen. When that sin and that temptation, let me preach to somebody here this morning, when that thing is coming at you and you're battling it every day with everything inside of you and you're trying to resist that, the moment that you give in to that, there may be a little calm for a little while. The pressure may be off. Amen. I talked to a man one time that was backslid, and I tried to deal with him and tried to encourage him to get back where he had been. And he said, "You're not going to like what I'm fixing to tell you." But he said, "I feel better right now than I have maybe ever in my whole life in a long time." He was as backslid as he could be, but he said, "I feel better now." Amen. But you know what? That little bit of time, that little bit of reprieve was very short-lived. Amen. And the enemy began to press on him and his family. Amen. I know how it is when the enemy day after day, I know what that feels like to have him breathing down my neck and telling me, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to make this happen, and you're going to lose this, and something else is coming in your life." Amen. Let me tell you something. No matter what his threats are, the minute you give in, he's going to take over. He's not going to go away. He's not going to leave you alone. He is still your adversary. Amen. And the more room you give him, the more he is going to take control in your life. Can you say amen? Praise God. So just because they had fallen into sin and all of this horrible degradation did not mean that the Philistines went away. They were still trying to figure out what they could do. Amen. To try to have an influence on Israel and to take over. Amen. So they, sure enough, even after Samuel had been called, even it looked like God was fixing to turn things around, he still had to bring out his word and the judgment that was coming to Hophni and Phinehas. Amen. I hope I'm helping somebody here this morning. Amen. There's another thing that I've got to make you aware of. The teachings you've had in the church and the upbringing you had, amen, and the things you know about the word of God are never going to work for you as nothing more than a good luck charm. Amen. You need to hear me preach. Oh, yes. It doesn't matter what all that ark represented. I know the commandments. The tables of stone was in the ark. Aaron's rod that budded was in the ark. There was a little bit of manna that would been retrieved and saved that was in the ark. I know the presence of God abide over the ark where the cherubims were, amen. All of that was great, but God was not going to allow, amen, the manifestation of his glory and his power to be used like a good luck charm for somebody to carry it out to battle that wasn't living the life and wasn't walking the walk. Amen. God will not allow his spirit to help you continue on going further and further away from God. Amen. Don't use his glory. Don't try to use his ark and his glory and his representation. It won't work. It never has, and it never will. Amen. Praise God. So the Philistines have got the battle set in array. Somebody says, "Let's go retrieve the ark to Shiloh." And so they did. And man, I mean, the Philistines, when they heard they were bringing the ark I mean, they got in fear, evidently. That was something that had never been done. That the Israelites had never attempted to use this ark as some kind of cover for them in battle. Because the Philistines said this has never been done before. My, this represents the God that parted the Red Sea. They even knew and understood about the miracles that God had done for Israel. And they began to quake and tremble. Amen. But what they didn't realize, they themselves being the Philistines didn't have anything to worry about because the ark was not going to work for those that already had the judgment of God pronounced over them. Amen. I'd sure like to help somebody in this house. Praise God. Amen. They got the ark down there and the Israelites were still overcome in battle. And the bad thing was the Philistines captured the ark of God, and it done Israel no good whatsoever. Amen. Hophni and Phinehas was still slain in battle. Amen. Oh, I'd like to help us here this morning. Amen. That runner that run back all the way back from the battlefield to where the backslid priest was sitting on his place. Amen. Being the high priest, that runner come to him with earth on his head. And he said, your sons are dead. They perished in battle. Amen. Oh, and that wasn't bad enough. He also informed Eli. Amen. Listen to me. I believe this. I think Eli was in trembling. I think Eli was concerned because that ark was out of his place. No doubt he was troubled already in his spirit because I can't see it. I know it's not in there. I don't know what's going to happen. And when word came to Eli, the ark has been captured. Your sons have perished in battle. He could no longer contain. He had probably had a heart attack or a stroke or maybe all at the same time. But he fell off backwards from his seat. He was a heavy man. And his neck break, and he went into eternity. Amen. Are y'all praying with me, church? Are you preaching with me this morning? Amen. God needs to help us to understand we cannot neglect what he has put us in charge of. We can't neglect what we're responsible for and put it in the care of somebody else. It'll be captured by the enemy. Our enemy will take what we have and leave us in ruin. Amen. Eli's dead, his neck's broken. He falls from the seat on which he sat. Amen. That precious daughter-in-law that heard that her husband is slain in battle. Comes overcome with the pains of childbearing. Goes into labor. Has a child. And the child's name is Ichabod.
My Lord.
Spirit of the Lord has departed. Amen. Help us, Jesus. Lift your hands, saints of God. Ask God to help us here today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. My Lord and my God, help us here today. Oh, God, help us to evaluate what we have. Amen. It'll never work for a good luck charm. It'll never work for something to try to benefit your own self. It only works from a heart that is pure. Pure religion. Undefiled before God. Amen. Woo, wish I had time to preach about everything that happened while that ark was down there in the Philistines, it caused Dagon and their gods a lot of problems, a lot of trouble. Thank God for the day it come home. Amen. Let me direct your attention to 1 Kings chapter 11. I don't think I'll be preaching too much longer here. I just want to draw another illustration right here from another great man. Here's a man that has so much promise. Here's a man that the hand of God was on him. Here's a man that had been granted things far beyond what he could ever attain in a college or a university, or from gleaning from anybody else, any mentor or teacher, amen, or philosopher of any kind. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse number 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, amen, women of the Moabites, Amorites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord, amen, are y'all hearing me read this? The Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Amen. But that wasn't good enough for Solomon. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Amen. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Amen. If you would read some of those gods and some of the things the Moabites done, they sacrificed at times their live children. Any similarities to where we live? Oh, in the name of Jesus right now. Church, I know I'm different, but right now, could we as a church just lift up prayer right now and plead the blood of Jesus against Planned Parenthood? Are y'all reading any of that stuff? Oh, in the name of Jesus, we come against that evil organization. Oh, God, give our congressmen and senators, if there's any of them listening right now, I pray that you'll give them a backbone to keep this vineyard, to withdraw all funding from that abominable organization called Planned Parenthood. We come against it in the name of Jesus. We resist it. Amen. I know my preaching's different, but I just felt led of the Spirit right then to do that. Amen. Amen. Let's start watching. Let's start believing now. Amen. That God is going to answer our prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How many believe the church is the salt of the earth? How many believe we can make a difference? You know, that's what they done. Ashtaroth, those gods of the Moabites, they sacrificed their living children into burning arms and actually burned them alive. Amen. Oh, help us, oh God. I don't hardly even have the nerve to call out, but if you have Facebook and you read those things that are going on and what's happened in our nation the last few months, it is abomination beyond what is imaginable that things are happening. And little children are being sold and dismembered to the point that it's hard to even speak of such evil. Amen. Where there are little children hearing us. Amen. Come on, church. We've got to believe. We are the salt of the earth. We got to stand in faith. We got to do something about it. This land is our land. It's your land. They're our senators. They're our congressmen. And we ought to pray for them and put pressure on them to do the right thing. Can somebody say amen? Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh,
the abomination of Moab and the hill that is before Jerusalem and before, and for Moloch. Man, that's the one I was just describing. The abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burn incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Oh, I don't understand how he was able to do that. Why? Why? And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Amen. You know, Brother John, we make a big deal about Elijah calling fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel, but he did. Amen. But do y'all know that also Solomon, when he prayed, fire came down from God just like it did for Elijah. And consume that sacrifice. The Lord appeared to him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded him. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. What happened to you, Solomon? Sometimes we have too little concern for our own vineyard, trying to make peace. Somebody hear me this morning. For some reason, Solomon thought it better to marry the king's daughters of those surrounding hostile nations and to make peace with them than to go to war with them. Did y'all hear what I just said? For some reason, he thought it better just to marry the king of Egypt's daughter, the king of Moab's daughter, the king of Ammon's daughter. Build them a high place, build them a place to sacrifice, keep them happy. Those kings won't invade us because we're tied up in family. Solomon is my son-in-law, so I won't attack them. Well, I don't know why I'm stopped here. This is not where I intended to end up. Y'all are awfully quiet, and you're looking and listening. I just hope it's going to where it needs to go here today. You can never appease your way out of the trouble you're in. The only way is to come back to God. Just say, Lord, I've made a mess of it. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Maybe there's somebody listening a long ways from here today. Maybe in another state. Maybe another country. I don't know. Oh, I'm asking you, wherever you are, you've got to make peace with Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can you lift your hands one more time and pray with me? While somebody's getting us a song, getting to the platform, getting ready to make an altar call here today, Lord, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice what's happening to his own vineyard. He's fixing to lose his own kingdom while he's trying to take care of everybody else's. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to look at this. The story changes right here. I'm ready for my singers. Come on, y'all. Find your place as quickly as you can here. I'm going to be done here in just a little bit. Amen. The beauty of this song, I started out in the Song of Solomon. The beauty of this song is it gets better as the chapter progresses all the way through those eight chapters of that mysterious book. Amen. I believe in my heart this woman that has been pressed into servitude. This woman that once said, my own vineyard I have not kept. I think she went to work on it. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse number 11. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing of the birds has come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one. I wish somebody would worship with me here this morning. And come away, hallelujah. Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Amen. Look at verse 15, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. I think she's starting to see some results. Amen. I've been doing someone else's. I've been taking care of somebody else's. But I realize now I got a vineyard, and now I'm working on it, and now I'm doing something to it. And look what I have. I got some plants. Amen. I need to work on some other things. I need to take some little foxes. Why is she starting to understand the things she toiled for and worked for is starting to produce something that is good, something that is tender, something that is going to make a difference not only in her life but in somebody else's. Hallelujah. Y'all love the progression of this chapter. Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse number 16. Again, awake, O north wind, come thou south wind, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Hallelujah. Am I helping anybody here this morning? Song of Solomon chapter 7 verse 11. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Amen. If there's nothing there, there's not anything of any value, why would you get up early and go? Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Hallelujah. That very last chapter, chapter number 8. Would you stand? The congregation stand. Let's read this. I'd like for all of y'all to read this together with me. I want to make the point. I'm trying to make the point. Over there in chapter 1, it sounded not so good. It sounded like she didn't seem to have an understanding or any hope that anything might be better. But she realized, evidently, I do have a vineyard. I do have something that's worth planting. I do have something that's worth cultivating. I do have something that's worth putting some effort into. Woo, hallelujah. Again, remember what I told you about the Song of Solomon at the beginning. And see if you can get a picture that I get here. Amen. About Christ loving his church. All right. Read it in that context. Let's read it together. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth and bare thee. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you get a picture right now? Amen. Come on, church. I said, can you get a picture of Jesus Christ? Amen. Coming that day that we read about with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. Amen. To purge out and to trot out the threshing floor. Amen. He's got a church with him. He's got a body with him. He's got somebody. Hallelujah. that is leaning on his breast. Amen. I got to tell you, saints of God, we have a work to do. We have a world to change. We have a family to raise. We have a church to grow. We have a kingdom of God that needs workers and laborers. And we have a good field to work in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many would like to raise a family under an apple tree? How many would like to have a church under an apple tree? What happened to that sunburnt woman who was calling out in chapter 1 that is now seen coming out of the wilderness? That man with that handsome man, that beloved, hallelujah, that one that has fought battles, that one that has won wars, that one that paid the debt on Calvary, that one that hung on the cross, that one that subdued death and hell, and the cross and the grave, that man now has a church. I gotta encourage somebody here today. Amen. Take courage wherever you are, whatever you're battling, whatever you're laboring and toiling with. You, my friend, have a vineyard. It's no longer neglected. Chapter 1 sounds like it's neglected. It's been overlooked. The siblings didn't see any value in it. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never do anything. You'll never accomplish anything. I wonder if I ask for a show of hands, how many people in this church house the devil's told you, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never do anything, you'll never change anybody. The reason he does that is because he wants you to give up. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel this in my spirit here. But Jesus Christ, he sees that, Brother Hugh, that might look like it belongs in the shepherd tents. And he says, that can be a curtain in Solomon's temple. He looks at that one that's black because someone has abused them or someone has violated them. You know, a lot of times we don't even know it. We preach to people in our churches that have been abused at a young age. That somebody violated them. Somebody took advantage of them. And they live with that dark, hurt, wounded spirit their whole life. You know what? I'm speaking to somebody right now. Many of those cases end up in suicide because they feel like that they're never good enough for anybody else. Never good enough for a husband. Never good enough for a wife. Never good enough for the church. Never good enough to have a position because somebody else done something to them. That's where this woman was. She was black. Black from the sun being on her. Pressed into servitude. You're not good enough to be over here with us. You got to do this over here. You're not good enough to have your own vineyard. You got to take care of somebody else's. You're not good enough to preach. You're not good enough to teach a class. You're not good enough. Always, you're not good enough. But Jesus goes ahead and calls. Like that beloved one does in the Song of Solomon. By the time we get to the end, it's a beautiful bride. Thank you, Lord. How many knows Jesus is coming after a church? Doesn't matter where he got it. Doesn't matter where he brought you from. Just as long as you work on what he gave you. Let's lift our hands all over the house here this morning. Ask God to give us a good altar service here. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Everyone that's listening in every place, wherever they may be, everyone in this house, everyone in this church service, Lord, I know there's people here today that need this message. They need to receive it. They need to hear. The enemy's telling them they're of no value. There's nothing they can ever do. They're tainted. They're harmed. They're afflicted. All the reasons the devil will tell you, you can't, you can't, you can't. You'll never have this. You'll never enjoy this. You'll never have the benefits of something like this. He's saying, I want to invest in you. Woo! I want to put some good things in you. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I'm thinking of people that others overlooked. You know, I'm thinking right now, and you know, maybe that little girl from that family that couldn't buy the latest fashions and the most beautiful clothes. Maybe they looked a little homely or unkept. But some young man that had resources seen the beauty in their eyes. They detected something in them. Yeah. And they began to sow into them. Tell them they were beautiful. Buy them nice things. Put them in a nice home. You go back and look at those pictures of where they come from. You think, how in the world, that, in a way, that could be the same person. I don't know if I'm getting this across to you or not this morning, but that's the way I feel. I was bashful. When I was 10 years old, I could have never, ever seen myself standing up in front of a congregation preaching, much less pastoring a church. I don't know why God done it, but I'm so glad that He gave me a little part, Brother Bruce. A vineyard to work in. And I tell you, I love y'all. I look over this congregation, I think you're beautiful. It's not because of me. It's not because of what I've done. It's because of what God has done in your life and just gave me a place to work. A place to sow, a place to water, a place to reap. Oh, God is so good. Seems like I just feel a change here. Maybe this is all me this morning. Maybe I'm soaking it all up, but I just feel like God's helping us. I feel like God's helping me right now. I feel like He's encouraging all of us. We got a job to do. Don't be distracted. Don't trade off going to battle and having a war over what God's given you, but feeling like it's not worth it. It's worth it. Amen. Sister Tirza, keep on praying. You've been praying for week after week after week. Keep on. Just keep that up. Connor, keep that up, man. Kendrick. All of these young people here. Wonderful young families, young couples. Man, man, man. Oh, man. I look, Brother Hugh, sometimes. This is how I evaluate my vineyard. I know I got you standing, but let me talk to you. When I know preachers that have far excelled in their oratory skills and their ability to speak and to help people, that pastored decades their whole life long and never, ever in their ministry have had the opportunity that I've had here at Bethany. I thank God. I'm not that good. I'm not talented. I don't have that charisma. I'm not that kind of person. I wished I could be more that way sometimes. Yet God has been so good to me. Is it all right? Are y'all okay if I just walk around here for a little while and praise God for my vineyard? Hallelujah. I'm so glad, Brother Troy, he gave me a place to work. Gives me a place in His kingdom to do something for Him. Every one of us ought to feel that way. When you look at those children, Brother Todd, you ought to feel that way. I'm blessed. I'm a blessed man. Hallelujah. Teachers in the school, you look at those students, you ought to say, I'm blessed to get to have a part in one of God's creations. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I know I've asked you once, one more time. In the name of Jesus, we bring this to a close. Lord, I don't know what you're doing. Holy Ghost, I don't know where all you're ministering. I don't know where all you're calling this morning. But I know that you are. I know you that well. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Minister here, Lord. Move around these altars. Move in this altar service today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. These altars are open while they sing. We want them to go ahead and sing a verse of song. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Woo, holy, holy, holy. Whoa.
keep it.
Lord, I want to do my part.